John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imenc.org, for Wednesday, August 24, 2011. Two Palestinians killed in the Gaza Strip and homemade shell lands in Egyptian territories. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Palestinian medical sources in the Gaza Strip reported that a resistance fighter was killed on Wednesday at dawn and another resident was injured when the Israeli Air Force fired missiles at a car driving in Tel Sultan area, west of Rafah City, in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. The slain fighter was identified as Ismail Al-Asmar, 34, one of the field leaders of Al-Quds Brigade, the armed wing of the Islamic Jihad. The brigade said another group of fighters escaped an assassination attempt on the same day in Deir al-Balah and vowed fierce retaliation. The assassination was carried out less than 24 hours after the resistance in Gaza declared ceasefire mediated by Egypt in an effort to avoid further tension that followed the Thursday-led attack that led to the death of 8 Israelis. The Israeli army claimed that the fighter, quote, was involved in terrorist attacks in Sinai, end quote, and in smuggling weapons and munition into Gaza. In other news, Egyptian security sources said that a homemade shell landed on Egyptian territory Wednesday morning. The source said that Egyptian security officers headed towards the landing point 300 meters away from the borders with the Gaza Strip and said that the shell landed in an open area, causing no damage or casualties. The sources added that the shell was seen coming from the Gaza Strip direction and pointed out that a number of shells landed in Egyptian territory during the past week. Staying in the Gaza Strip, medical teams found the body of an old man in a farmland that came under artillery attack Wednesday morning. The source identified the dead as Ismail Ammoum, 65, and said that his body was mutilated. In the West Bank, dozens of extremist Israeli settlers of the Beit Ain illegal settlement north of Beit Umar near Hebron attacked on Tuesday evening Palestinian orchards and farmlands and uprooted dozens of olive trees, plum trees, and grapevines. Muhammad Awad, spokesperson of the Popular Committee Against the Wall and Settlements, reported that the settlers uprooted and cut 50 trees that belonged to Hamad Slaby and his brothers. Awad added that this is the fourth time Israeli settlers trespass into this farmland and cause damage in recent years. That was just some of the news from Palestine today. For more updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Thank you for joining us. This report has been brought to you from Occupied Bethlehem by Hassan Bitsis and me, George Ishmael.
Afghanistan today. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unspecified nationality from an IED attack in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, Tuesday. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unspecified nationality from an IED attack in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, Monday. The Australian military is reporting the death of an Australian soldier from an IED blast in the Khazyurgan area, Yurgan province, Afghanistan. An additional soldier was wounded. Afghanistan, Friday. The New Zealand military is reporting the death of a New Zealand soldier from a small arms fire gunshot wound in Kabul. Afghanistan, Friday. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unspecified nationality from an IED attack in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan reported Tuesday, two Germans have disappeared in Afghanistan north of Kabul, the Afghan Interior Ministry and a provincial police chief reported. Afghanistan, Tuesday night, a local government official was assassinated by two gunmen on a motorcycle in Helmand Province. The third official killed there in a week. Washington, Tuesday. 5.9 magnitude earthquake forced the evacuation of the Pentagon, the White House, and the Capitol. Pakistan and Afghanistan. Taliban Mujahideen have torched more than 125 NATO oil tankers, both in Afghanistan and Pakistan, in the past 3 days. Last Friday, 50 NATO oil tankers were set on fire in the Pak-Afghan border region. NATO oil tankers were set ablaze in Nangarhar, Wardak, Logar, Ghazni, and Zabul provinces of Afghanistan on Sunday. Also on Sunday, 25 NATO oil tankers were burned by the Taliban in Balochistan province near the Afghan border. Mosul, Iraq, Sunday. A joint U.S.-Iraqi force with U.S. air support arrested the director of the Nivana Province Traffic Police, Lieutenant Brigadier Nashan al-Khawazi, at his office. This is a rather odd story which suggests they were afraid of major armed resistance. Diwaniya Province, Iraq, Sunday. A roadside bomb attack on a U.S. Army patrol damaged a vehicle. No report of casualties as of now. Wait a minute, what roadside bomb? What U.S. Army patrol? I thought U.S. combat operations in Iraq were over. Oh yeah, that's been said before. Mr. Barack Obama, do you really think 8 years of war in Iraq has changed anything? Do you really think even more will stabilize Iraq or Afghanistan? Now is the time to pull the plug, bring all the troops home today. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Beginning on August 20th, climate activists launched a two-week protest and nonviolent civil disobedience action at the White House to focus attention on the environmental impact of the proposed 1,700-mile Keystone XL pipeline that would bring oil from Alberta, Canada's tar sands operations to U.S. Gulf Coast refineries in Texas. More than 2,000 people have committed to participate in the White House sit-in protest and risk arrest in what is expected to be one of the largest environmental protests in a generation. Author and 350.org co-founder Bill McGibbon was among the first activists arrested of 162 detained in the first 3 days of the action. A coalition of U.S. and Canadian environmental groups organizing under the banner of Tar Sands Action opposes the project because they maintain that greenhouse gas emissions of tar sands crude oil, 40% higher than conventional oil, threaten to accelerate global warming. They also warn about the destruction wrought by open-pit mining in Alberta's boreal forest and the dangers of pipeline accidents that have previously spilled oil and toxic chemicals. Supporters of the project maintain that the pipeline will promote U.S. energy independence and create thousands of jobs. The protest campaign is designed to put pressure on President Barack Obama to deny authorization of the $7 billion pipeline project, which the State Department is expected to review by the end of the year. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Mae Beauvais, executive director of the environmental group 350.org, part of the coalition sponsoring the protest. She explains what's at stake in the Keystone XL pipeline decision and the need to keep President Obama accountable for his 2008 campaign pledges to curb climate change.
The message that we're trying to get out is that this pipeline, the Keystone XL, should not be approved by President Obama. And we're really appealing to President Obama because we know he can do the right thing on this. And unlike so many decisions before the president, this one doesn't involve Congress. It's a decision the president can make on his own in the administration, which would have tremendous positive benefits if he were to do it. This pipeline is a terrible idea for so many reasons. The tar sands oil is one of the dirtiest fuels we know on this planet. It's completely ecologically devastating the area where it's being developed in Canada. The pipeline itself, as you mentioned, would run all the way through the middle of the country, right underneath the main aquifer that provides drinking water and agricultural water for the entire Midwest. And it's going to be let out right in the Gulf of Mexico. We hardly need a reminder about the risks of oil development in the Gulf after what happened with Deepwater Horizon. So the groups gathered in Washington. Every day, 50 to 100 people are showing up right in front of the White House, linking arms, participating in peaceful civil disobedience to try and make sure that this pipeline doesn't get approved. The effort is called tarsandsaction.org. If people want to tune in, follow the action.
May, explain to our listeners in some detail what it is about the tar sands that produces so much carbon dioxide, and the groups organizing this protest being very critical of that as a real problem in terms of ramping up climate change across the globe.
Well, at 350.org, we are very, very concerned with climate change. That's our raison d'etre. 350 stands for the safe level of carbon in the atmosphere measured in parts per million. We've already exceeded that level right now. And the tar sands are what's referred to as an unconventional fossil fuel, that in order to extract them, first of all, you have to cut down North America's last remaining rainforest, the boreal forests. And then the tar sands themselves are incredibly dirty. The carbon content is far higher than conventional forms of crude oil. And our greatest climatologist, Dr. James Hansen at NASA, has said that if we move in the direction of developing these tar sands, it's essentially game over for the climate. So this is, again, a case where we can say no to this, we can do the right thing, and people are joining together from all walks of life to say no.
May, can you discuss how it is that this decision is in the hands of President Obama, given the fact, as you said earlier, that many of the decisions are either allocated to local agencies, federal agencies, or Congress. What are the indications right now that President Obama is either listening or ignoring the message that you're sending in these protests at the White House?
Well, the reason that this is organized the way that it is because the pipeline crosses a border, and so the decision is in front of the State Department, and the State Department is issuing what's called a presidential permit. So that is the rationale for doing the action this way. Here are two key things that people can be aware of right now. One is a jointly organized petition to the president to deny the permit. More information about that petition can be found at 350.org's website. The second thing are a series of hearings that are going to be taking place in the states where the pipeline would run through, so Nebraska, Montana, Texas, et cetera. So I suggest people contact their friends who live in those places, send them some information that this is going on, and then stay tuned for updates from 350.org and some of our allies about when these hearings take place as yet another opportunity for people to present the many reasons this is not worth doing. But right here in Connecticut, where you all are listening, we've got some incredible organizing happening that is building off of the excitement in Washington, D.C. It's part of an effort called Moving Planet, and this is a global day of action against fossil fuel development. And in Connecticut, it's one of our strongest events in the whole world, actually, right in New Haven on the Green, the evening of September the 24th. So I would like to urge everyone to learn about this. You can go to 350ct.org to learn all about it and sign up as a perfect way to get involved in this movement for climate solutions, no tar sands.
This being an election year, I'm wondering what kinds of interests, wealthy interests, are likely to be putting pressure on President Obama to stand fast and approve this pipeline project rather than listening to groups like yours who oppose it.
Well, I think that there's no question that the oil industry is tremendously politically powerful. ExxonMobil makes more money in a single quarter than any company in the history of money. And we see that countless examples of the influence of big oil in our political system. And the advocates of this pipeline are no different. And they are trying to sell us this message that we need oil, which is a complete fallacy. We need the exact opposite. We need a true transition to renewable energy to get this country out of the economic challenges we're in. And we need to move away from dirty fossil fuels like these.
That was Mae Beauvais, Executive Director of the environmental group 350.org. Find links to more information on the Keystone XL pipeline debate on our website at btlonline.org.
By now, you've probably heard of the tar sands protests taking place every day in front of the White House for the next 2 weeks, asking President Obama to turn down the permits for the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline from Alberta, Canada to Texas. Protesters expect over 1,500 arrests in the course of these civil disobedience protests. As this is being recorded, there have already been over 170 arrests, and protesters arrested on Saturday were held over the weekend. It is suspected that the White House themselves pressured the Park Service to hold them. Randy Thompson is a rancher from Nebraska, and here's the statement he had read at the protest in opposition to this pipeline that would threaten his land and that of so many other ranchers. I want to thank all of my fellow Nebraskans who are in D.C. protesting the pipeline, and I want all of you to know that I respect and admire the courage and personal commitment you have shown by being there. It is time that the American people send a message to the big oil companies and their political allies, and that message is this. We are fed up with having our livelihoods and natural resources put at risk just for the sake of corporate profit.
And we are also fed up with the politicians who fail to hear our voices, but instead cater to those who can fatten their own campaign coffers. There are many unanswered questions about this project, but one thing is becoming abundantly clear. Americans do not support and do not want this pipeline. Please make sure that Obama gets that message. Godspeed, Randy.
A landowner from Nebraska sent that message.
And so today, Nebraskans are wearing these shirts because we stand with Randy not only today, but we stand with Randy for the past 2 years that we've been fighting this pipeline. And we'll continue to stand with Randy, and it is an honor to stand shoulder to shoulder with you today to send the message to President Obama that he has the power to stop this pipeline. Thank you.
That is a statement from Randy Thompson, a rancher in Nebraska opposing the Keystone XL pipeline that would bring tar sands oil from Alberta, Canada, the oil of Mordor, through the United States to Texas, threatening ranch land through which the pipeline would pass, threatening massive destruction in Alberta, Canada as the mines expanded, and threatening our global climate. Even if you didn't have to burn 4 barrels out of 5 barrels of oil you recover from tar sands to get it, even if tar sands oil wasn't 5 times as carbon intensive as a result, even if tar sands oil wasn't dirtier than coal, the pipelines are also unsafe. Here's what another participant in the protest against the Keystone XL pipeline had to say on the 22nd of August about pipeline safety.
They know that you can't build a pipeline without oil spills. It's guaranteed that there's going to be oil spills. There was oil spilled in the Yellowstone River. Over 1 million gallons of tar sands oil was spilled into the Yazoo River in Michigan and set the pipeline. So this is bad for the environment. It's going to pollute aquifers. It's going to affect ranchers. It's going to affect parkland. And it's going to contribute enormously to global climate.
In case you couldn't understand what he was saying there's already been spills from existing pipelines of tar sands oil. He was talking about the spill into the Yellowstone River of tar sands oil from an Exxon pipeline. Remember that mess not too long after the anniversary of BP's oil spill last year? Oil from the Alberta tar sands is truly the oil of Mordor. 5 barrels mined, not drilled, for every barrel successfully produced, the other 4 burned in its production or their equivalents burned. Worse than running your car on coal shoveled into a steam boiler like 100 years ago. It's that filthy. The only thing worse is nuclear. But Mr. Barack Obama, you can do the right thing on this issue and the Tea Party cannot stop you. Congress doesn't get a say. The decision about the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline is made by the State Department, by the executive branch only. Do the right thing. Pull the plug on the Keystone XL pipeline. Deny them the permit to cross the border. Wednesday, the 24th of August, the 5th day of the tar sands civil disobedience in front of the White House, a day where 56 people were arrested, was a day where much of the focus was on residents of the Gulf Coast who've already seen the destruction that oil can bring. One Gulf Coast resident brought up a load of what are known as tar logs, basically log-shaped tar balls from the Gulf of Mexico.
That stuff right there is what has made me sick, my neighbors, my friends, all of us. We're affected. Doctors won't acknowledge this is bigger than we ever believed.
I know that petroleum products are these strange things in the body. It's like, if I'm cleaning parts, you know, some bar salt up to my arms in it, that'll make my guts rumble. A friend of mine will get diarrhea from it.
This stuff made me have blood and diarrhea for 45 days and put me in the hospital.
This is some nasty stuff. You know, it looks like turds, too. It's appropriate it would have those effects.
It does. And that's what it'll do to you, except for you'll bleed.
So, I guess what these are in this here baggie, these are BP turds.
Yeah, and the smell, you smell them?
Oh, imagine bloody diarrhea for a month and your house smelling like paint thinner because somebody like BP spilled oil. You think this tar sands pipeline's going to be any safer than BP's Macondo project? Guess again. They've already had one pipeline spill from another pipeline into the Yellowstone River in Montana. We already know this tar sands project is unsafe. That's why 56 people were arrested in front of the White House on the 24th of August on the 5th day of protest against the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. As of the 24th of August, there have been approximately 275 arrests in front of the White House of protesters opposing the Keystone XL tar sands oil pipeline. This is a pipeline that would bring tar sands oil from Alberta, Canada to the U.S., terminating in Texas. Tar sands oil is mined, it is not drilled. The process is so energy intensive that for every barrel of oil that reaches market, 5 barrels have to be mined, and 4 of them are wasted on processing making the steam to steam it out of the sand, that sort of thing. As a result, tar sands oil is even dirtier than running cars on coal would be. Here are reasons given by some of the participants in the civil disobedience, beginning with public health physician Dr. Cindy Parker.
My name is Cindy Parker. I'm a physician, and I'm here from Baltimore as part of the Chesapeake Physicians for Social Responsibility. I have never been arrested before. The reason why I have reached this level of commitment now is because this is such a pressing issue. I'm a public health physician. That's my specialty, and particularly I work on the health consequences of climate change, global warming, and other global environmental problems. And as a public health physician, I'm charged with helping to protect the health of the public. And this pipeline, if it goes through, will have devastating consequences both locally for the populations that live around the Alberta tar sands, regionally because the pipeline across, as it comes across, is going to have some health consequences through spills, etc. And probably biggest for me is its contribution, the contribution of tar sand petroleum to carbon emissions and unabated climate change. So if global warming or climate change is allowed to continue unabated, there will be very real and very negative and very unpleasant health consequences for everyone. And not just on the other side of the world and in many generations to come. It's we're already feeling some of the effects of this. Those effects will continue. So certainly our children, our grandchildren, and right here in the United States of America, we will be feeling these changes. But the thing is that we can actually still do something about it, and that's why I'm here, to try to get this issue more into the public eye, to let people know that it's not just an environmental issue, it's also a health issue, and it affects every one of us.
Here's what Lisa Swanson had to say.
My name is Lisa Swanson. I live only about a mile from here, so I rode my bike over. I live in D.C. I see a lot of political actions. I am inspired to come to this one because it's a very precise action that the president can take. It's a yes-no question. It's one for which writing letters is not enough. We've got to finally take some solid action on this. I'm tired of seeing our money, United States tax money, going to things that help nobody and hurt a lot of people.
Here's Peter Anderson and why he participated in the tar sands protest in front of the White House.
The age where I was in the Vietnam demonstrations, we called ourselves the baby boomers. And here we are, the Louis the 15th generation, which is I pray while the deluge. I'm sick to my stomach. I need to make a statement.
Awesome. So what do people in Madison usually, how do they usually react to me and tell them you're coming here to get arrested?
I think it's cute. I think ultimately, this is a nice putting your toe in the water action, but we have to ratchet this up very significantly.
You're dead. We gotta ratchet things up big time against the sources of global climate change. Otherwise, Mother Earth is gonna do it for us with things like hurricanes and coastal flooding. Anonymous, the hacker group that took down the websites of MasterCard and Visa to punish them for cooperating with US government attacks on WikiLeaks, has released this statement supporting the tar sands protest in front of the White House.
Citizens of the world, Anonymous Operation Green Rights would like to call to your attention an urgent situation in North America, perpetuated by the boundless greed of the usual suspects. ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, Canadian Oil Sands Limited, Imperial Oil, the Royal Bank of Scotland, the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers, and many others. The tar sands oil extraction industry is an environmental disaster. Also known as the oil sands, tar sands are one of the largest remaining deposits of oil in the world. Efforts to extract the resource from a mix of clay and other materials underneath Canada's boreal forest have created the biggest, and by the accounts of numerous scientists and environmental groups, the most environmentally devastating energy project on Earth. On August 20th through September 3rd, activists young and old are gathering in Washington, D.C. for 10 days of civil disobedience in protest of the tar sands oil industry, and to call out for safer and cleaner alternatives. Anonymous now joins this international struggle for the rights of the world's citizens to a clean environment, and against all industries that threaten the future health of the world's living things. We stand in solidarity with any citizen willing to peacefully risk arrest to call out corporate abuse. The people of Earth will not stand by idly and let these environmental atrocities continue. This is not the clean energy of the future that we are being promised. We will, over the course of the next few weeks, use the powers we possess to spread news about this protest to viral proportions, and to share damning information about the corporations involved. We all must work together to expose the corruption that we all know is beneath this. Anonymous will provide air support and lulls as the activists in DC confront this dire issue on the streets. We urge you to get involved. Join the protest if you are close enough. Donate money to the organizations involved with the struggle. If you're not nearby enough to Washington, D.C., join us in the IRC listed below to experiment in how we can spread word of this protest and disobey civilly in our own ways. The continued development of the tar sands is a major step backwards in the effort to curb the pollution and poisoning of our natural environment. Anonymous will not suffer this without a fight, and Operation Green Worlds will always support the rights of the people to live in an unpolluted world and to safeguard it for the future one way or another. Submit to protest. http://www.tarsandsaction.org/sign-irc.anonops.li/channel Operation Green Rights. Location of protest, White House, Washington, D.C. We are anonymous. We are legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
Daily civil disobedience now underway in front of the White House. The hacker group Anonymous has now introduced this statement announcing that they are providing electronic air support for the protests.
Citizens of the world, Anonymous's Operation Green Rights would like to call to your attention an urgent situation in North America, perpetuated by the boundless greed of the usual suspects. ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, Canadian Oil Sands Limited, Imperial Oil, the Royal Bank of Scotland, the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers, and many others. The tar sands oil extraction industry is an environmental disaster, also known as the oil sands. Tar sands are one of the largest remaining deposits of oil in the world. Efforts to extract the resource from a mix of clay and other materials underneath Canada's boreal forest have created the biggest, and by the accounts of numerous scientists and environmental groups, the most environmentally devastating energy project on Earth. On August 20th through September 3rd, activists young and old are gathering in Washington, D.C. for 10 days of civil disobedience in protest to the tar sands oil industry, and to call out for safer and cleaner alternatives. Anonymous now joins this international struggle for the rights of the world's citizens to a clean environment, and against all industries that threaten the future health of the world's living things. We stand in solidarity with any citizen willing to peacefully risk arrest to call out corporate abuse. The people of Earth will not stand by idly and let these environmental atrocities continue. This is not the clean energy of the future that we are being promised. We will, over the course of the next few weeks, use the powers we possess to spread news about this protest to viral proportions, and to share damning information about the corporations involved. We all must work together to expose the corruption that we all know is beneath this. Anonymous will provide air support and lulls as the activists in DC confront this dire issue on the streets. We urge you to get involved. Join the protest if you are close enough. Donate money to the organizations involved with the struggle. If you're not nearby enough to Washington, D.C., join us in the IRC listed below to experiment in how we can spread word of this protest and disobey civilly in our own ways. The continued development of the tar sands is a major step backwards in the effort to curb the pollution and poisoning of our natural environment. Anonymous will not suffer this without a fight, and Operation Green Rights will always support the rights of the people to live in an unpolluted world, and to safeguard it for the future one way or another. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
I would not want to be the guy that has to provide computer security for the corporate scum involved in TransCanada's Keystone XL tar sands oil pipeline project.
Throughout the summer, as debate raged in Congress on raising the nation's debt ceiling, Republicans in the House were also trying to push through a myriad of anti-environmental riders in the 2012 appropriations bill for the Interior Department and the Environmental Protection Agency. Because Congress broke for its summer recess immediately after reaching a deal to raise the debt ceiling, no action was taken on the appropriations bill with its almost 40 riders. The bill will be taken up again when Congress reconvenes after Labor Day. Riders are an end run around congressional procedures. They are designed to limit scrutiny and to force through policies generally without hearings or full debate. As in other recent policy debates, critics charge that Republican sponsors of the riders are using tactics that in essence hold vital national legislation hostage. The anti-environmental policies block protections for clean water, clean air, wilderness lands, and wildlife. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with David Goldston, Director of Government Affairs with the National Resources Defense Council. He describes the objective of some of these legislative riders and efforts underway to try and remove them from fiscal 2012 appropriations bills.
What's notable about this bill, besides that it would cut spending, is that it's loaded up with almost 40 anti-environmental provisions called riders. These are efforts to block environmental policies or the operation of existing environmental law that have been added to the spending bill, even though these provisions don't save any money whatsoever.
Can you give some specific examples of the environmental harm you're referring to?
So they block all kinds of environmental activities. So one would prevent EPA from clarifying which waters are protected by the Clean Water Act. There's another one on water that would prevent EPA from strengthening oversight of mountaintop mining removal. There's another one that would prevent EPA from limiting runoff from logging roads, and another to limit that would prevent limitations on pollution runoff from agricultural properties. On clean air, there's efforts to block new safeguards from both traditional pollutants and from carbon dioxide pollution. So there's a whole range of these. As I said, there's almost 40 of them in all, which is, as far as we can tell, an unprecedented number of limitations.
I believe one of the riders would have prevented any further listings of endangered species under the Endangered Species Act, but that was declared too radical even for some Republicans, and it was removed. Is that right?
Right. So the rider would have said no additional listings of endangered species. Listing is how endangered species get protected under the law. That was removed from the bill through an amendment that was offered by a bipartisan group, and it got support from a number of Republicans as well as Democrats, and so that has been removed, and that was a good sign because it's one of the first times this year that Republicans and Democrats joined together in sufficient numbers to actually stand up to these efforts to block environmental safeguards.
Just so I understand, these riders have been attached to the appropriations bill, and they were trying to pass them at the same time as all the debate was happening about raising the debt ceiling, right?
I mean, the timing happens to be overlapping, but they're separate measures. So every year, Congress has to pass spending bills for each agency so that they have the money to carry out their responsibilities the following year. So this is the annual effort to do the spending bill for Interior and EPA. As part of that, right, all these provisions have been attached, these riders, and there's a number of reasons why this is bad besides just that the provisions themselves would harm the public. Number one, they don't get the same kind of debate and scrutiny that they would if they were freestanding measures. But number two, the reason that they get added to these spending bills is to try to force them through when they otherwise wouldn't pass, because it's a way of saying to the Senate, if you try to disagree with, and the president, if you try to disagree with us on these environmental provisions, we won't fund the government. And so one of the effects of adding all these anti-environmental riders to this bill is it makes it much more likely we're going to have another government shutdown showdown in the fall, and that's not a way to govern.
David Goldston, what do you think the chances are of getting rid of these riders?
Well, it's unlikely that all these riders will be removed before the bill leaves the House. But our hope is, and this is what happened in the spring on the spending bill for this year, is that the Senate, Democratic leadership, and the president will stand up to these and say, these do not belong in the spending bill, they're bad policy, and they shouldn't be part of this measure in any event, and will basically prevent any of these from becoming law. The White House has already issued a very strong veto threat on this bill, citing the riders as one reason. And again, in the spring, when this happened with a smaller number of riders on the spending bill, the president and the Senate ultimately did stand up, and virtually all those riders were removed.
That was David Goldston of the National Resources Defense Council. Learn more about anti-environmental riders in congressional budget legislation by visiting our website at btlonline.org.
The city, this is movement music.
Have you heard the news?
Walmart's coming.
Georgia Avenue, uptown, ain't that something?
Something.
Small businesses, shop owners, hearts pumping, cause they know their livelihoods is about to take a thumping.
Thumping.
See, you can't compete with a superstore who's an importer of slave laborers. Craftsmanship, low price to flip to undercut the market. Hand over fist.
Walmart
is infamous for the way they behave.
Uh-huh.
Low wage pay, treat the workers like slaves. Employees who try to unionize, soon find themselves in unemployment lines. The way they treat women needs improving. 1.6 million sisters are suing them for being paid less than the male equivalent.
On these issues and more,
we can't afford to be ignorant.
Keep DC Walmart free. It won't benefit you or me. They ain't about spreading love in the community. They ain't about Chocolate City unity. Opportunists out to make a buck quick. Suck up all your resources and then they split. They try to come across as if they legit, but really their motives are counterfeit.
This is the Funkinest Journalist with your three Walmart commandments. Step one, move in and crush competition by underselling. Step two, pay workers nothing and block unionization. Step three, take all that money, put it into the Walton Family Foundation, and turn that into political influence to protect yourself and make even more.
Walmart,
it's not a good fit for Chocolate City.
Let me holler black at you with the skinny. Important that you clearly understand and remember, DC doesn't work with the right wing agenda. The Walton families are big contributors to bigoted representatives and senators. Trent Lott, sinister, Strom Thurmond, similar, Confederate, state loving George Bush ministers. Oversee a plantation mentality, results in black and brown casualties. Statehood opposition for the district has been supported by Walmart's mischief. The D.C. Voting Rights Act was defeated, assisted via Walmart PACs, and now they want to come here to see their money stack. Stay up on the facts. Chocolate City, don't relax and fight back.
Keep D.C. Walmart free. It won't benefit you or me. They ain't about spreading love in the community. They ain't about Chocolate City unity. Opportunists out to make a buck quick. Suck up all your resources and then they split. They try to come across as if they legit, but really their motives are counterfeit.
D.C. Walmart Free is an emerging activist group of D.C. residents stepping up to challenge the corporate big box invasion of Chocolate City. Walmart has plans to establish 4 stores in D.C. by 2012. Walmarts in D.C. will threaten small businesses, cause loss of more jobs than it will bring to the community, and lower the wage standards for all workers. To find out more and get involved, visit walmartfreedc.org.